You know, every once in a while, someone will come up to me, often quietly, and say, "Thank you. I saw you on TV. You said what I was thinking."
CNN political commentator Scott Jennings speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And that's when I know it's worth it. Not because I changed the world in one segment, but because I reminded someone that they are not alone. So to everyone here today, keep making the case for your faith, for your values, for your families, and for your country. And I'll keep doing my best on the panels, on the debates, on CNN.
You can watch and listen to Scott Jennings making the case for an alternative voice in the mainstream media from the 2025 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Holy Cross Day, September 14th, you can access on-demand video and audio streams of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness. Confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Almighty God,
have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, cleanse and defend your church by the sacrifice of Christ. United with him in holy baptism, give us grace to receive with thanksgiving the fruits of his redeeming work and daily follow in his way. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as if on a dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house there will be 5 divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but you hypocrites, why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. If you visited any of the churches in Fort Wayne, you've perhaps come across a few with a unique architectural feature, with balconies not simply in the back, but wrapping around all the way to the front. Imagine the days when those churches were full, and you sat perhaps down in the middle of the nave, but with saints all around. And of course, familiar faces, perhaps always sitting in similar places. There's something about that sense of being surrounded by the saints of God, just as the sound in this room brings us all together, that has a powerful effect. Of course, our churches aren't quite so full these days in many cases, but appearances, I think, are deceiving because according to our reading today from the epistle, the letter to the Hebrews, we learn that in fact, those seats, though apparently empty, are quite full. Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. No less than 20 times in that chapter, we hear the phrase, by faith. By faith, Noah believed. By faith, Abel. And all the way back to the very beginning, we hear stories. We heard in this reading last week about Abraham and Sarah. And now today, the reading picks up again, this time beginning with Abraham and Isaac. And we learn of Jacob. We learn of those that follow, traveling around Jericho to wait for the walls to fall, Rahab who helps the spies to escape. By faith, all of these individuals, they endured hardships, mistreatment, impoverishment, death by stoning and the sword. Some, we're told, even sawn in two. By faith, which as the beginning of chapter 11 defines it, is the basis of things hoped for. The evidence, or the assurance, as we heard in last week's sermon, of things not seen. There's no way to cover all the details in this magnificent chapter, but yet from just a few examples, we can be reminded and encouraged that we, in fact, are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. So consider, for example, Abraham. Today's reading picks up with the story of God's command for Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. This is the heir, the one God had promised, the one God had repeatedly promised to Abraham, even after Abraham had taken into his own hands the attempt to have an heir through another woman, through Hagar. But now God demands the life of this blessed heir. By faith, Abraham is prepared to sacrifice him. Yet the wonderful good news we find in our text is that when God spares that son, it is as though he's been raised from the dead. And it was Abraham's faith in that assurance that Isaac would be the heir, that he could trust in God, despite all odds. Just listen to those words that are given here. Abraham considered that God was even able to raise Isaac back from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And in that sparing of Isaac's life, bringing him back to life, so to speak, we have a very picture of our Lord's resurrection, and even of the resurrection we look forward to on the last day. Abraham's trust in God was so complete as he looked forward to a better homeland, a heavenly reward, one for which we all wait. So indeed, Abraham's face is among that great cloud that surrounds us even now. Or consider another, Moses. By faith, that little boy's parents refused to be overcome by fear of Pharaoh and his order that all the baby boys of the Israelites be put to death. By faith, after Moses has grown up, he refuses to live with the perks of being the son of the princess and instead chooses to identify with his oppressed people, even then running for his life. By faith, he returns years later at God's command, standing before Pharaoh, bringing the Lord's word that God commanded, that Pharaoh let his people go. He endures the mockery of Pharaoh and of his court and all those who thought he was crazy with his commands that he brought from the Lord. By faith, he leads the Israelites to keep the Passover, to take the blood from that lamb that they slew, and to sprinkle it upon the doorposts. by faith trusting that God would bring life to those people. As that blood signified that death had already occurred in that household and that the angel of death should simply pass over and spare the firstborn. By faith, Moses leads them through the Red Sea, death just being held back as those waters are on both sides of them. Yet by faith, they travel through that water, trusting that God would bring them through death to life. We remember Moses, another one of those wonderful faces in that great cloud. Do we see ourselves among that great crowd? These super saints they seem to be. Or do we look in the mirror and perhaps more often see a weak-kneed, wobbly saint of God? God has also recorded for us moments when those great saints of the past also failed and struggled. Think just for one example of Abraham as he and Sarah travel to Egypt, bringing his beautiful wife into this country. He fears that someone will want and desire her and kill him so that they can have her. And so he lies, pretending to be her brother in order to spare his own life. We see ourselves in so many of these stories of these saints who nevertheless were sinners, who fell short, who doubted God's promises, who feared for their lives, who feared for their reputations. We see ourselves in those saints as well, but they're recorded precisely for our strengthening, to know that if God could indeed show mercy to them in their moments of weakness, well then by all means, he shows mercy to us as well, does he not? What do all these examples teach us? Well, that comes at the end of today's reading, those first verses of chapter 12. And we're given one word, the imperative, run. A racing image, and one that is so apt for life in this world as we await for our Lord's return. Three qualifications are provided in our text as we run. First, we run by shaking off all of the hindrances, anything that gets in our way. Have you ever noticed that Olympic swimmers don't have long hair? It's going to slow them down. It'll create a drag. And in a race where milliseconds determines the winner from the second place finisher, you have to get rid of anything that will slow you down. For us, that which entangles us and slows us down is sin. Our lack of trust that God truly is good in every way, in every situation. A lack of faith that causes us to take matters into our own hands, to desire that which is not ours, to seek after that which belongs to someone else, to hurt another person's reputation. In all those ways, we're weighed down, and those sins so easily cling to us. It is only through repentance, through a daily drowning of that old Adam, that we can be free of such hindrances as we run this race. The second qualification in our running, we do it with endurance, perseverance. We struggle on toward the prize, knowing that in the midst of those struggles, we have one who runs with us, who runs for us, one who, in fact, has endured the struggles more than we ever have, as we look to our Lord's own life and especially to his passion, to the suffering he endured, suffering which led all the way to the cross, to a death he did not deserve, but which he willingly assumed in our place. And we find ourselves already talking now about the third qualification. We run with our eyes fixed on that Savior, eyes fixed on Jesus. The saints of old did that. They didn't know his name yet. They didn't know he would be born of the Virgin Mary. They didn't know many of the details of his life, but they had the promise of the one who would be their champion, who would overcome the assaults of the devil, the one who would do that which man could not do. They trusted in the one who would come to be obedient when that first Adam had failed in the garden. They came to trust in the one who had, unlike Abraham or Moses or any of the other saints of old, would fulfill the full will and law of God, and for our sake, take the sin of we hold
for himself, that we might be set free. They failed, but they kept their eyes on the prize. And so must we, and so are we invited to recognize that that great cloud of witnesses does surround us, whether we can see them with our eyes or not, because we trust that indeed they who kept their eyes on Jesus cheer us on, fix our eyes on Jesus, and with endurance run that race, knowing that the prize is set before us, life eternal, in the name of Christ. In his name, amen.
Let us pray for the whole church, the flock redeemed by Christ's blood, that she may wait peacefully for the consummation of God's kingdom. Gracious Father, in your Son, Jesus Christ, you fulfilled your promise to Abraham and all the faithful of old. Grant to your church faith and hope, that she may boldly confess your saving truth to all the earth. Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, as you have established the government to serve and protect the interests of the public good, guide and support all government officials, including our mayor and city council, the civil servants and police of this community, that those who have been entrusted with civic affairs and the safety of all may faithfully attend to their callings. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all creation, because you know that we require daily sustenance and have promised to supply what our earthly bodies need, permit us to trust your word, that we may not worry about what we will eat or drink, but always give thanks for what you provide. Lord, in your mercy. God of all strength, because you sent your Son to take on our flesh and blood in order to redeem us from sin and death, arm with strength your servants who suffer from sickness, that their way may be made perfect in you. Lord, in your mercy.
Merciful God, you have prepared an eternal city for all the baptized who live by faith. We give you thanks for those who longed for that heavenly city and now wait in peace for its consummation. Sustain us in the faith, so that on the day when your Son returns, we may rejoice to hear you call yourself our God and Father, for you live and reign with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. By faith, the saints of old held fast to your promise of things hoped for, though not yet seen, leaving an example and encouragement for us who walk now by faith and not by sight. Grant that we may faithfully eat and drink this holy supper of your Son's body and blood, and in the union of his mystical body, the Church, be joined in unending praise with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, Elijah, and all the faithful prophets, the blessed apostles and evangelists, the holy martyrs, and all the saints in glory who fought the good fight of faith before us. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.